Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the special edition of the Redbird Rants podcast. We are actually going to be joined today by some people who we only like sometimes, and they are the some of the experts. They're the experts from reviewing the brew, the fan-sided Milwaukee Brewers site. My name is Trevor Huth, and I want to introduce the guys on the podcast. With me is my co-expert, Dr. Michael Miles. Dr. Miles, how are you?
I'm doing well. You know, it's the end of a Monday, so you can't go wrong with that.
And, of course, we have our two guys from reviewing the brew, David Gasper and Matthew Dwoskin. I hope I said that right. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
All right. We're just ready to get going. This is going to be a fun series. It starts extremely soon. Lineups for game one are out. It's going to be very important to both teams to win, which is what's going to make it fun to watch. I want to start by asking the reviewing the brew guys a question, because we talked about this yesterday when the news came out, but Dan Jennings is going to be starting today. That's skipping Chase Anderson's start. I know you – well, David, I'll start with you, because I know you're very outward and very happy about this. What you know, why are you so happy about this? What's good about it?
I'm really just happy that Chase Anderson is not going to be starting this game, because Anderson, he's really struggled this season, especially with the long ball. He's given up, I believe, 30 home runs this season, and that's tops in the National League. And he's just really had his struggles with that, just grooving fastballs down the middle. And doing that to this Cardinals lineup at a critical point in the season is really not in the best interest of the Brewers. So putting someone else out there and just sticking with the bullpen, that's really the strength of this team. I feel like that's a better move for the Brewers in this game.
All right, all right. I know we talked about it a little bit yesterday when we did our weekly podcast, and it was kind of a, well, let's see what happens. It could be really good, even though for the Cardinals, even though the Brewers bullpen is fantastic. So, Matthew, we'll go to you. What do you think about the choice of Dan Jennings to head up the bullpen game?
I think it's really actually really quizzical to me. I could see using Jennings in this game, but I don't quite understand why they're choosing to start with Jennings. He's essentially a lefty who only gets out lefties. So it would make sense if you're going to toss him out there that the Cardinals would stack their lineup with righties. They've done that a bit, but Matt Carpenter is still leading off. And so you start off with a lefty on lefty. And then you've got Martinez, DeJong, Ozuna, and I believe Jerko is a switch hitter. So that's four consecutive righties. So this could be a rough ride for Jennings. He's got a 3.94 wOBA against when facing a right-hander. And I don't really understand where this came from. I don't know why you would start with that guy against this lineup who can stack righties the way they can.
For the Cardinals, it's going to be Jack Flaherty on the mound. And Doc, you want to talk a little bit about Flaherty and how you think that matches up against the Brewers?
Well, the thing is that Flaherty brings with him an ace quality for such a young guy. You know, in a series that's so important for the Cardinals and really so important for the Brewers too, but from the Cardinals' perspective, so important that the Cardinals make a big splash out of the gate in this series. Sending Jack Flaherty out there outside of Miles Michaelis is probably your best bet going into this series to start it off in such a fashion. I'll also tell you that it's really interesting him matching up against a bullpen. And as you guys have well noted, the bullpen is the strength of the Brewers. We've talked a lot on Redbird Rants, both in the writing and in our podcast, about, how we feel that the Brewers' starting rotation is not one of their strengths. And in this regard, sending Flaherty out, he is one. be exciting to see what he can put together.
And it's so interesting that the Brewers guys are saying that the strength of the team's been the bullpen. It's true, but also the youth in the Cardinals pitching has been the strength too. So it looks like this game might be a little bit of strength on strength, at least as far as the starting pitching goes. But the Cardinals are going to be sending out youth throughout this entire series. I mean, after this, after Flaherty, it's going to go Austin Gomber, John Gant. So there's not a whole lot of veteran presence there, where the Brewers are going to throw out Gio Gonzalez and Julie Chacin. So that'll be an interesting dynamic. And you know, Dr. Miles, I'm going to stick with you for a second, just because you've gotten a chance to see a lot of Gomber, a lot of Gant, you know, and probably a lot of Flaherty down in Memphis. Do you think that this youth is going to be able to hold up in a key series like this?
Yeah, you know, I want to say yes because I'm terribly biased, but I'll tell you what's even more important is, you know, what's more important here is the fact that the youth, they're getting their chance to show. You know, as we talked yesterday, and you guys from Review the Brew, just let me catch you up. We did a podcast yesterday, and one of the things we talked about is the future of pitching for the Cardinals and what that's going to look like beyond today. And when we talk about guys like Gant and Gomber, these are guys who need the opportunities to show that they've got the chops if they're, one, going to make the Cardinals squad in 2019, or two, going to have value for the Cardinals squad in 2019 in the terms of a trade. There is no better time than this series right now for these guys to show up. One, it would do one of both of those things, or actually could do all of those things. It would absolutely make their value go through the roof if they could show up and gather a win. And as you said, Trevor, yes, I've watched them a lot in Memphis. And I can tell you that all three of those guys could be number three, number four starters on a lot of major league squads. So I'm really glad to see them going out there. And quite honestly, Flaherty could be a number one.
All right. And I think we've exhausted some of the pitching here, but we'll hand it over to the Milwaukee guys here. Looking at your guys' lineup, it's a pretty stacked lineup. 2, 3, 4 all have over 30 home runs, and Moustakas is hitting 6, that's close to 30. So do you think that your lineup's going to be able to just take Flaherty deep, things along those lines?
Actually, what interests me more than the 2, 3, 4 is the 4, 5, 6. If I'm not mistaken, the Brewers have stacked their lefties throughout in the heart of the lineup. So you got Flaherty, who can be a little susceptible. Can I say he's a little susceptible to left-handers? Would that be accurate?
I mean,
gentlemen,
I would say so, at least a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, so you got that left, that big fat lefty stack right in the middle of the lineup. So And you got the OBP guys in front of them, Kane and Yelich. So I'm kind of curious to see how that's going to work out. I think it's in the Brewers' favor, but you know, there's a reason they play the games.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Brewers have put up a. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, you can go ahead. I'm changing the subject, so you go on, David.
I was just going to say the lineup that the Brewers are putting out tonight. I mean, it's pretty strong. I mean, they're putting out basically their big boy lineup with Kane, Yelich, Aguilar, both Shaw and Moustakas are back in there, and Braun's in there. And they've really kind of put out their best guys. So this is really kind of their A lineup, basically, that they're putting against Flaherty.
And keep in mind, the pitcher spot is – when it comes up, it's not going to be the pitcher. They're going to be pinch hitting for the entire game. So my guess is you're probably going to see Eric Kames out there first, since he's one of their capable lefties off the bench. So it actually could be even stronger than it looks on paper right now with Kames in there instead of Jennings.
Although it does say Jennings hitting 666. I think I remember back when there was I think it was Brewers Cardinals on Facebook, Dan Jennings hit a double. I believe that was Jennings. So, you know, maybe a little pop from your
bullpen.
But wait a minute.
I've got to interrupt there. If it happened on Facebook, did it happen at all? Question mark.
Well, I'll tell you what, Doc, it kind of did. I want to tell this story. One of the old Reviewing the Brew writers who've moved on to Kings of Kaufman, the Royals site, her name's Morgan. I'm dating her. She's listening, actually. Or at least she told me she is.
Humble brag.
Oh, yeah.
I know,
brilliant.
I know. Right?
Yeah.
But I was sitting next to her in class watching the game. And when Dan Jennings hit his double, she very loudly went, "Was that a double?" And my professor looked at me like, "What's going on?"
So Morgan got you
little...
in trouble, basically.
Actually, no. The professor said it would be un-American to turn off baseball. So I won
wow.
in the end.
Wow. Yeah, way cooler professors than I did.
So I do want to ask
the real test of that professor and his patriotism is if you could have a hot dog and a beer in the middle of the class while watching the ball game.
Well, he was a Cubs
and
fan.
Just
I don't
blasting
know
God Bless America.
He was a Cubs fan. I don't know if we can call him that American.
Ooh, yeah.
Wow.
I know. So I just look into the lineup, and I just want to ask you guys, because I haven't been able to see Milwaukee as much for a while. How's Travis Shaw been at second base? Because that's where he's been playing, if I'm not mistaken.
Surprisingly capable.
He's been pretty serviceable. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot better than you would think from a guy his size. You know, he moves pretty well, believe it or not. When they made the move from Osakis and they switched him over to second base, I was scratching my head, but it hasn't bitten them nearly as hard as you would expect.
Yeah, I mean, he's really actually kind of been able to turn double plays pretty well, and that was kind of the most concerning part. I mean, he could always field ground balls, he could always throw, but turning the double plays was kind of the big concern, but he's actually done a pretty good job of it, and he's actually been getting better over the past couple months.
And the Cardinals, actually, their second baseman, Colton Wong, has been one of the better defensive second basemen of the year. He's been out for the last few days. Yairo Munoz is playing there. So, Dr. Miles, what do you think is going to be happening with second base throughout the entire series? Is it going to be Yairo Munoz? Do you think we could see Edmundo Sosa maybe get a start?
Was that question to me?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, you know what? It wouldn't surprise me at all if at least in one of these games of this series that we would see Edmundo get a start at second in very much the same way that the young guys are climbing the hill. Edmundo needs to show whether he's got the chops or not. You know, a name that no one who are Cardinal fans, except for probably me, because I love scrappy players, would want to see out there is going to be a Greg Garcia, but it would not surprise me at all to see Greg Garcia get a start in one of the games as well. You know, right now riding Yairo Munoz he's the hot hand. He's hitting well of late. Yeah, he's an error machine, and that can absolutely come back to bite them against a powerhouse like the Brewers. And, you know, that's showing deference and respect to the Brew crew, and I think we have no other choice but to do so. Council's done a very outstanding job of taking a team and making them competitive in a time that people had actually written them off. But I love that you pointed out second base, because it's going to be Sosa, Garcia, or Jerko playing there during this series. Any one of those, they're going to be just fine.
And, Doc, I don't know if you pay attention to social media at all, but Cardinal Nation isn't exactly too high on Greg Garcia. So I think you are the only person who would say, let's hope we see Greg Garcia in the lineup.
Well, and that's why I mentioned that, because, you know, I'm often hated inside of Cardinal social media, and that's okay. Greg Garcia is going to give you a solid play. He's not the best. He's not going to smack homers left and right, but he is also going to play a very solid defense. And there's something to be said for a guy like that. If he comes off the bench as a pinch hitter, he's going to give you a great at-bat. He may hit into an out. He's going to hit into double plays from time to time, but he's also going to make that pitcher throw at least 7 pitches. And that's something that you've got to look for. So, you know, I'm high on scrappy players like that.
Hey, Doc, if I'm not mistaken, is Garcia left-handed? I seem to remember that in the back of my head.
Garcia does bat left-handed, yeah.
Okay, in that case, you'll probably see him against Julius Chacin in the final game, with the lefty-righty matchup.
Yeah, and I'm not in front of my computer, but if I remember correctly, Garcia's got pretty decent numbers against Jacin. There's not a whole lot of Cardinals who do have really great numbers against him, but I'm right there with you. It wouldn't surprise me to see him trotted out there for that game.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
And Chacin is interesting because
As I'm sure several listeners know by now, because it gets mentioned a lot, I used to, you know, write for Reviewing the Brew. So that was up till recently. And one of the things I wrote towards the end of my tenure was about Chacín developing that changeup to be more effective against lefties. How has that worked out for him this year? It's kind of open
well,
to anybody.
Well, you know, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. I can get them, but Chacín has been solid pretty much all around this year. He hasn't really. If I remember again, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head here. I don't believe he's coming into with too severe a platoon split. In fact, actually, I'm completely wrong. He's got a rough platoon split. 240 wOBA against righties, 343 wOBA against lefties. Power numbers, it's 10 homers allowed to lefties, 7 allowed to righties. It's not as bad as you would expect, but quite a bit more walks against lefties, so it would make a lot of sense, you know, for the Cardinals to be stacking lefties against him, you know, with Garcia at second in particular.
Yeah, Chacín, yeah. I mean, he's been solid for most of the season, but over in here in September, he really hasn't been able to pitch as well. He got a 4.34 ERA during the month of September in his 4 starts, mm-hmm. and he just, I don't know what it is with Chacín. He hasn't gotten much run support lately either, but yeah, he's basically been, you know, depended on as the guy in the rotation for most of the season. And he's kind of just, I wouldn't say limping into the postseason, like not exactly limping into the end, but he's not going out on a high note so far.
Well, Trev, I don't know if you remember, but one of the big issues that came with Chacín when he was originally signed by the Brewers was his home road splits. Last year, I believe he posted a sub-2 ERA in San Diego and had a 6 ERA away from San Diego. That hasn't, you know, that really hasn't choked to bite him in the ass this year. 3.79 ERA in Miller Park, 3.49 ERA away from Miller Park. So he's actually been a bit better on the road, but it's been odd the way that's kind of worked out. Where you took away his one advantage in San Diego, but he's really been just, you know, serviceable. He's been a solid, you know, innings gobbler for the Brewers.
And that was a huge question for the Brewers too when they signed Chacín. Mm-hmm. They signed some other guys. Is who's going to eat the innings to get to the bullpen? And I mean, if he's been able to do that, that's been very good, obviously, for the Brewers, who are sitting in a good spot to make the playoffs at this point. You know, move on to a different part of your lineup, and I know I'm just kind of picking through here, but, I mean, Christian Yelich has been huge for you guys. He was just named the NL Player of the Week again. He's probably at the top of most people's, outside of the Cubs fans, he's on top of the MVP race.
There it is.
Yeah.
And that's kind of an interesting dynamic. Even it's played out several times this year, but Yelich versus Ozuna, both of them came from Miami, and it's kind of, I've seen Cardinals writers write about how the Brewers won that fire sale as far as the two outfielders. So, I mean, it might be kind of an obvious answer, but what has Christian Yelich done for you guys this year that's been so, you know, great and helped you guys get to this spot where you are for the playoffs?
I mean, he's been everything, really, for the most part. I mean, the 321 or 322 batting average, his power numbers have really increased, and that's kind of been the biggest part for him. I mean, his career high in home runs before this year was 21, and he already has 21 home runs in the second half this season. I mean, he's already up to 32 total. He's just taken his game to the next level. He only hit 300, I believe, one time in Miami, and now he's already hitting well over 300 and into the 320s this year. And it's just been, he's been everything. It's almost hard to put into words what he's done. I mean, the offense, it basically revolves around him, and he's kind of the leader on the field.
David, I can put it into words. In fact, I only need 3 letters. MVP. That's it.
It's a good thing we didn't invite Cubby's crib on here. We'd have a all-out war brawl.
Honestly, I'm not going to lie. When Trev first messaged me, I told him, I'm like, are we, you know, if we're facing off in a podcast, does that mean Cubby's crib is going to do like a run-in?
like the Anchorman style, yeah.
Exactly.
So, Dr. Miles, we'll throw it back to you finally here for the other side of that that Marlins fire sale. Ozuna's kind of had his struggles throughout the year. I like to attribute that to the recently fired John Mabry. But what have the Cardinals gotten from Ozuna, do you think, that has helped them get to where they are?
Look, I think you hit that on that nail on the head. I mean, Mabry was a total screw-up and ruined so many great batters. I mean, we saw that when you look at any of the departing Cardinals. Look at what once he got out from underneath Mabry's skirt and he goes out to the West Coast and he gets with a real hitting coach. Look at what Matt Adams did when he was sent down to Memphis for a rehab and he worked with Budoska and the guys down there. And then look what he's doing now that he's actually getting to work with Buda. You know, we have oftentimes talked about Ozuna versus Yelich on Redbird Rants and in the podcast. And I've always been somebody who really said we got the short end of the stick, the Cardinals did, that Yelich is the better player. And I would have much rather the Cardinals had Yelich. That said, I think that, you know, one of the things that we've also talked about at Redbird Rants is this, the distrust of the medical staff and the fact that the clubhouse, the guys aren't being very open or honest about their injuries and their healing processes. And I think that we're seeing that also true with Ozuna. I believe there is something that's, you know, an impingement of some capacity, and I'll use that word impingement because the medical staff loves that word, which means a hell of a lot of nothing. And there's something that's keeping him from being great. And we noticed early on as well that once Buda and his team made it up and became the hitting coach and coaches, that they adjusted Ozuna's stance and he started hitting a greater amount of doubles. He can absolutely still get into a ball and send it over the fence. And he hits probably the loudest and most impressive line drive home runs I have ever in my career seen. And that's in and of itself very impressive. I think that if Ozuna comes back really, really healthy, then the Cardinals have not lost in that competition between Ozuna and Yelich. But right now, yeah, they've kind of got the short end of that stick because Yelich, I agree with you guys from RTB. Yelich is right now the MVP, and that's even over my bias to Matt Carpenter and the August that he went through. Yelich is the all-around better player right now.
Well,
Go ahead. I was just saying, and I think another big part of that, Ozuna is a free agent after next season, right?
There you go. David, we're of the exact same mind. That contract was the key to that trade.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
I mean, Yelich, he's under
contract. I'm going to say, watch out for next season, because that's when Ozuna's going to need to earn his keep and earn his next keep. And that's where he may prove to be really dangerous next year.
Well, but then you got Yelich signed to a super affordable deal for the next, you know, I think he signed for 2022.
Four.
Is it 2024? Oh, even better. So
I was just going to say four more seasons. So, yeah, it's a team option for 2022.
That's correct. So, yeah, so the Brewers have him under contract at an affordable rate for the next few years. And, you know, that's really only going to, you know, allow them to continue to build around him, you know, since they're going to have dollars freed up for other places.
Now, having said that, we need to also think about the Marlins. And yes, they did a fire sale, and yes, they got out from underneath a lot of contracts, and yes, they are looking to potentially relocate, which I think is absolutely going to happen, probably out to Las Vegas, which is what the talk is. But they got from the Cardinals Tommy Pham, and Tommy Pham has taken off for them. And I'm just saying, watch out for the Marlins. They may become the Las Vegas Marlins.
Tommy Pham's in Tampa.
Oh, sorry. That's right. Tampa's the one that's moving. It's been a long Monday. But I'm saying as well.
Hey, at least you're in the same state.
hey, you know what? Who accounts for Florida unless we're in an election year or our Jewish grandparents have retired there? But, you know, watch out for that team, because the Marlins were wise enough to know that they didn't have a snowflake's chance in hell, and they sold out as quickly as they could because they had to do something so they could auction off that hideous statue out in center field and be able to put together a team next season. And those are the type of clubs you got to keep your eye on throughout the off season. They've now got the money to spend.
And watch out for the Marlins, because they got some pretty good prospects back for just Ozuna and Yelich. They got, I mean, just from the Cardinals, they got Alcantara, who's who's a hard throwing pitcher who's got a decent future ahead of him. They have Magnaris Sierra, who I love. He's kind of been debated in Cardinal Nation, but I thought he was great. And then they also got Lewis Brinson, who's reportedly eventually going to be good. Not sure when that's going to happen, but
any day now, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And Monty Harrison's also a solid outfielder too. So
and they also had an infielder from the Brewers who had a solid season in the minors. Isan Diaz, the kid's name.
Yep.
Yeah.
He had a really solid season. I think single A, double A.
And the last piece of that deal from the Brewers was Jordan Yamamoto, who
That's
was
right.
getting praise from David Stearns.
Very good. And I think he even had a solid season this year. So.
Yeah. So they did okay getting him back, and as far as Ozuna with the Cardinals, he's probably going to be playing for a contract next year. But the Cardinals outfielders in the minors and who are about ready for the majors are pretty stacked too. I mean, we're already seeing O'Neill and Bader and there's Randy Arozarena and I think Lane Thomas. No. Back home. Yeah. Not Lane. It's not Lane Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah. Lane Thomas. He's playing center for the Redbirds.
Right. So, but the point being, there's a lot of talent in that outfield, and it might push Ozuna out. So he's got to play for his contract next year and play probably even better if he wants to stay in St. Louis. For now, it's time for us to take our first break, and stay tuned because we'll be right back with this special edition of the official Redbird Rants podcast. All right, guys, welcome back. This is the official Redbird Rants podcast. We're in some season and some episode that I don't know. This is a special edition. We have writers from Reviewing the Brew, FanSided's Milwaukee Brewer site, and we're just talking about the key series that's about to happen. Both teams are vying for a playoff spot, and it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, how this plays out. We've talked a lot about what this lineup is presenting and things like that. And one thing I'm seeing, looking at the lineup right now for the Brewers, is 11 steals from Ryan Braun, which seems wrong to me in a lot of different ways. But there's also, they have three guys in double-digit steals, and the Cardinals have Yadier Molina. So I think that's where we're going to start this portion of it, is tossing over the Reviewing the Brew guys. How big are those steals in your everyday game, and are you worried about Yadier Molina at all?
Honestly, you know, you look at the Brewers lineup and you see the three guys that have over 30 homers and Mike Moustakas at 28. The base paths aren't how they're going to score runs. They hit home runs. You have to be aware of Molina when you're on base because he could pick somebody off, you know, from his knees. It's going to be the long ball that's going to deliver the runs for the Brewers in this series. That's just, you know, just how they score runs.
Yeah, I mean, running, I mean, yeah, it's a part of the Brewers' offense, but they don't take as many chances as some of the other teams. Like, if they know they're facing a really good catcher, they're not going to take as many risks, but they'll take advantage of, you know, your mediocre, more average catchers, and that's where they kind of get all those running opportunities. But, yeah, they're going to be relying probably a lot more on the long ball and, you know, just getting base knocks to move guys around as opposed to trying to steal bases.
Yeah, and you guys keep mentioning the long ball. The Cardinals don't have as much firepower. I mean, they don't have the guys who are hitting 30 home runs. So, Doc, where are you seeing these runs coming from for the Cardinals?
The critical piece for the Cardinals in this series is going to be not looking for the long ball. It is going to come from stringing together singles and some doubles. And it's also going to come from at least releasing some of that speed on the bags. If you can get Harrison Bader on and you can release him, that dude can run. And we've seen that. And we've seen the stat cast of him going from first to home or from second to home and just these incredible numbers of speed that he can put out there. If you can get him moving, if you can get those pitchers distracted by the possibility of guys moving, then you can put together, you know, some winning combinations. Ultimately, which we actually watched in the last couple of games against San Francisco, and admittedly, San Francisco is not Milwaukee, but in watching the Cardinals take level swings and focus more on hitting into the gaps, they were able to string together a lot of runs, and they weren't so heavily reliant on the home run, and that, to me, is what is going to be critical in this series. Can they continue to focus on putting the ball in play where the defense is not? And, you know, to help with that, guys, just always to look at is Ozuna yesterday in the final game against San Francisco. Ozuna was smacking the cover off of every ball he hit. Unfortunately, he hit right to the defense.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this game is going to be probably the most interesting because this is a very dominant Brewers bullpen, and it'll depend on how the Cardinals can, you know, attack that. You'd think that with Dan Jennings being the name going out first, they'd have to attack early before you get to the more dominant names and the names that the Cardinals fans probably don't want to see run out there and the Brewers fans do. So that'll be really interesting. One guy that I do want to ask about before we move on and get away from just talking about players for, you know, solely players at least for a bit, is Orlando Arcia. I know he had a struggle throughout the year. He's come back up. He's hitting .221 now, but how has he been hitting a lot better? Is he still kind of struggling? How's he looking?
That's an excellent question. Honestly, our husband sees it's hard to look worse than he did. I mean, by the time he was sent down, I think he was, you know, among the worst hitters in the league and looking every bit of it. He's been better since he's been back. The AC still hasn't been great. So yeah, his value right now to the Brewers is in his glove. It's not really in his bat, sadly.
Yeah, I mean, Arcia, I mean, he's been better, but, I mean, he's raised his batting average about 20 points since he came back up, and it's still at about .221, so it's still not that great overall. But, I mean, he hit .283 during the month of August and .271 during September here, so, I mean, it's been better. He still isn't walking very much, and part of that probably has to do with the fact that he's right in front of the pitcher and might play some role in that. He's always hitting eighth in the lineup. But he's just he's been better than he was before, but he really hasn't, you know, stepped up to what he was last season when he hit .270.
Actually, you know, the even bigger concern for me is the power outage. I mean, seeing him post an 0.54 ISO in the first half and an 0.98 ISO in the second half after – he smacked double-digit home runs last season, so we were expecting a bit more from him in the power department this year, and just has not been there for whatever reason.
Well, he should have had one the other day, but some kid reached over and caught the ball, so they ruled it a double instead.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think of how to smoothly transition to this. I don't know if I can. We know that this is an important series, and we know that we're – you know, I'm kind of changing off of looking at specific players, but the race to the playoffs is going to be more than just this one series. I mean, this series can be huge for one way or another, but Milwaukee's got a really easy series after they face the Cardinals. You guys are heading to Detroit, or Detroit's coming to you, I believe.
Detroit and Milwaukee.
That's not hard. I mean, I've watched them play a bunch of times. They don't have Miguel Cabrera. They don't have anybody. They're kind of running on fumes. The Cardinals, however, are going to, you know, they're going to go to Chicago and play the Cubs. And the quote
unquote,
yeah,
if you guys could
MVP
beat them handily and sweep the Cubs, that would be great.
Yes, that would be fantastic.
Well,
big
but
fans
if you could,
are
like,
here.
Also, like, if you could also like handily lose this series, that would also be wonderful.
Yes, if you can manage to forget how to play baseball for 3 days and then play fantastically for 3 days, that would be ideal for us.
Okay, so
and
if
that
swept
would
by
be
the
very
Brewers
possible
and then sweep the
if
Cubs.
Mike Matheny, and that would be possible if Mike Matheny was still the manager.
Ooh.
Well, you know, Doc, why don't you just keep talking? What do you think of their idea that the Cardinals just go ahead and get swept by the Brewers and then sweep the Cubs? What do you think?
I think that that's not going to happen because I don't think Mike Schilt is going to allow that to happen. That's the wrong Mike leading the team. Like I was joking, if Mike Matheny were there, it would be 100% possible and probably 125% probable. In this regard, listen, from my perspective, neither one of the teams who are going to be squaring off face-to-face tonight and for the next three nights, neither one of those teams will benefit from the other one laying down. Both of these teams have scratched their way into the conversation this year and really putting pressure on the Cubs. And regardless of the outcome of the season, putting pressure on the media darling Cubs is probably top-notch and something that we should all put feathers in our hats about. But in regard to these two teams, they need each other to play at the top of their value. They need to defeat a very difficult foe in order to take them into the postseason. So in all honesty, while we joke, and yes, we would love for the other team to just lay down and let the wins happen, I think that there's more ground to be gained from the opposing team actually playing to the top of their capabilities for both of them. And I think that that's absolutely what we're going to see. I mean, honestly, this series is the most exciting series pushing towards October. The following series, like the Cardinals against the Cubs, it's almost a snooze fest now. There's not much in the way of an excitement there. We know the Cubs are in all likelihood going to win the NL Central, albeit the Brewers can absolutely upset that. And at this point, again, I just keep going back to both sides, Redbird Rants, Review the Brew, we need these teams to play like World Series champions in this series, if in no other.
I don't know, Doc. I think I'd rather have the Redbirds lay down for us.
And therein lies another example of why Trevor came back to us.
Oh!
Wow.
You had
all right, I see where this is going.
I was saving that up. I was waiting for the opportune time. Yeah.
But honestly, Doc, you didn't see me emailing Chris to prevent that move.
Hey, wait a minute. Trevor leaving allowed me to come back.
True.
You're saying you still
which is what I wanted.
Are you writing about the Indians?
Oh, like I mean that film? Was that was a fun time, but yeah, I wanted to come back.
Well, it worked out for everybody. How about that?
I think I agree.
Yeah, what do you know?
But I think as Cardinals fans, we'd really like to see like Jacob Barnes and Wade Miley taking huge chunks of time. You know, because they haven't been great to my knowledge. So that'd be nice if you guys just pitch them and let the Cardinals offense go to town.
Wade Miley is fantastic.
Uh-huh, I'm sure.
He is.
I mean, hey, as long as the Brewers don't throw Matt Albers, they should be in pretty good shape.
That's the name. Matt Albers. Taylor Williams, he's been rough. I don't want him anywhere near this game.
Oh, Dan Jennings has been rough, too, but he's getting the start, so.
Yeah, we can go figure.
Doc, I hope you're taking
notes. You're in good luck so long as Matt Adams is not put out in left field, although maybe you do want Matt Adams playing left field for a couple of innings.
I wouldn't mind.
Like, as long as David Freese doesn't come out of nowhere once again and just, you know, hit a whole bunch of home runs, I'll be fine.
Doc, tell me the difference between having Matt Adams in left field and Martinez in the outfield. I don't think there's much.
Man. I was going to say, that's a really tough question. I would say at least Martinez looks like a baseball player in the outfield. He may not be a baseball player, but he looks like one. Matt Adams in the outfield looks like a prepubescent at 11 o'clock at the casinos, riding around on a hover rod. He's just lost.
Well, and Doc with an intense visual.
Hey, now you see why
really not that wrong.
Social media hates me.
Not wrong.
I would say the same about Eric Thames and how he looks in the outfield, but I don't think anyone would confuse Eric Thames with a prepubescent whoever at a casino. I mean, that's a big guy out there, but he does not really look the part as an outfielder.
And Doc,
I mean, look,
the
continuum for me starts with Matt Adams, like in the basement, and he's only, you know, in terms of like better than him, you got to go to Chris Duncan next. He was just as confused. Somewhere in the climb up, you get Matt Holliday, who at least looked like a beast out there, but sometimes was equally confused. And then you can get up to like the outfield of, you know, Jose Martinez, and that's okay. But, you know, Chris Duncan, Matt Adams, those guys are really enjoying their mom's basement.
Yeah, and Doc, you're being nice when you say Cardinals social media hates you. They continually question your credentials as a doctor because they disagree with what you say about baseball, which baffles me to no end. But
well, when I read their comments, they completely question my credentials as well.
But going back to where we were somewhat headed before, we were talking about prepubescent children.
Oh, God.
Looking beyond this series for the Brewers, I mean, what are you thinking of when you see that you're playing the Tigers for your final games? I mean, how does that give you any confidence? What are you expecting from that series?
I'm expecting a sweep.
Probably going to clinch.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't take all three of those games against the Tigers, do you really deserve to go anywhere in the playoffs?
It looks like the ideal, you know, Milwaukee against the Tigers is just about the ideal place for a hangover lineup, is it not?
Especially
if they can clinch at least a playoff berth during the series against the Cardinals, and the Brewers are apparently having a watch party for the game on Wednesday, where they're going to have a whole bunch of people together to watch the game. So maybe they're expecting a potential clinch on that game. Hopefully they can at least clinch a playoff berth by then. And if the stars align, maybe they could go for a division title during that series against the Tigers. But I'm not holding my breath for that.
That'll depend on how the Cardinals do against the Cubs for sure. But right now we're going to take our second and final break and we'll come back. We have one more short leg of podcasting to talk about. It's been great so far. So stay tuned. And welcome back. You're listening to the official Redbird Rants podcast. This is a special edition. We have the writers from Reviewing the Brew. And they're here to talk about this upcoming series, the series after, and apparently talk about a lot of extracurricular things, but we're having some fun with it. And I think the best way to kick this off is to start with the most biased answers we can get. So
awesome.
We'll start with David. What this three-game series, Cardinals-Brewers, how do you think it turns out? Who wins the series? Is it 2-1? Is it a sweep? What do you think?
I think the Brewers can take 2 of 3 from this series. I know it's, you know, coming from the Brewers side. And, you know, as much as obviously I would like a sweep, I really don't think that. I mean, the Cardinals are always a tough out in September and October. They always play tough. And the Brewers and Cardinals have been, you know, they've been even all year long. and both sides are motivated to clinch a playoff berth. So it's really not going to be easy, but I think the Brewers can come out winning two of the three.
And Matthew, where do you see this series heading?
I'm going to go completely biased here. I'll call sweep. Why not?
Okay, there you have it. The sweep. And Doc, I know we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but you know, have you changed at all with some of the news of the bullpen game?
No, you know, I see that it's going to be a really great series, and to me, it feels like the Cardinals will take two of three, especially with the guys they're sending out there. I don't think they're going to be able to sweep only because the Brewers won't let them. That's kind of paramount, you know. But I really do feel like they're going to take two of three. Let me say this. If the Cardinals are down two games going into that third game, they will absolutely at least win that one to prevent the Brewers from clinching at home. They're, you know, in this series at least.
And again, I know we talked about this yesterday on our podcast, and my answer was that I honestly have no idea what to expect, but if the Cardinals offense can come out firing and attack the Brewers starters and get a lead before the Brewers go into their bullpen, they'll have a good shot at winning the series. I don't think it'd be a sweep.
Well, I've got bad news for you. The Brewers are already into their bullpen, and the game hasn't even started yet.
Well, and what
yeah.
I was about to say
and after
saying,
that, I mean, Dan Jennings is probably not going to pitch past Matt Carpenter.
No. Well.
But as I was saying that yesterday is when David shared the tweet in the RTB group that says that you're skipping Chase Anderson's start. So apparently they were either listening or just have, you know, really good timing on that because that's when we found out it was a bullpen game. The Brewers bullpen is just nasty. It's almost unfair at times when you talk about Jeremy Jeffress and Josh Hader. And Josh Hader was my prospect crush when I first started, and then I started to love him as a Milwaukee Brewer out of the bullpen. But it's going to be really interesting to see. And so since you think that Dan Jennings isn't going past Matt Carpenter, if you had to guess, there's a lot of pitchers right now. Who else do you think is going to – who the Brewers are going to throw out in this bullpen game?
I think you're probably going to see Corbin Burns come in sooner rather than later.
I think you're going to see Burns. Oh yeah.
David, let's think about. If you're starting the game with Jennings, that means the Brewers have to go at least one time through the lineup. Okay, the Brewers have to go at least one time through the lineup. Okay, the pitcher. Let's think about this, David. They're going to pinch hit, you know, for Jennings spot guaranteed. So ideally, what happens is Jennings makes it through the first. And then I guess you take him out for the second and go with another like one inning guy, like you say, like run Jacob Barnes out there. Then you pinch it for Barnes and then you go with Burns or Hayer so you can get the multiple innings without having to pinch hit.
Yeah, I mean,
that has to be a strategy, right?
Yeah, I mean, they could definitely go with that. Or you could bring in maybe Junior Guerra. Early on, and I mean, Garrett can hit for himself. I mean, he's been a starting pitcher most of the season.
I
have
guarantee
him,
no Brewers pitcher is hitting today.
What?
I will guarantee that no Brewers pitcher goes to the plate today.
All right. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there as an option. But yeah, I think you'll see a lot of Burns and Guerra and maybe Freddie Peralta a little bit. I don't think Peralta would go long. But you could see him out there as well.
He's thrown one game since August 29th. But different reasons.
Yeah, it's true.
So are you guys worried at all, though, about doing a bullpen game in the first game of the series, it being such an important series, and how that affects your bullpen going forward?
Honestly, the Brewers land their bullpen so heavily already that they were, the most they're going to get out of a starter is four or five innings before they're into the bullpen anyway. So you know, you're going to be seeing Josh Hader, you're going to be seeing Jeremy Jeffress, you're going to be seeing Corey Knebel, you know, you're going to be seeing, you know, Joaquin Soria, Xavier Shea. You're going to be seeing those guys anyway, so you might as well just roll with it for a game, you know, as opposed to, you know, tossing, you know, a starting pitcher who they're apparently not all that behind anymore.
And, I mean, provided the Brewers have a lead, you know, you'll see all those guys. If they fall behind, you won't see them at all. But, yeah, and, I mean, the bullpen management is a big thing on Brewers Twitter and how everyone complains about how Council uses the bullpen. But, I mean, it's they've been relying on their bullpen for a while, and it's still been working out, whether that's a good long-term strategy, whether that can last in the postseason remains to be seen. But for right now, it's been working, and all the guys that they have, Craig Council has been matching up pretty well.
All right, well, let's flip the script here and talk about the Cardinals bullpen, which has been almost as good as the Brewers bullpen, except that it's not even close to being as good as the Brewers bullpen because it's been pretty inconsistent and god-awful at times. So, Dr. Miles, what are you looking for from the Cardinals bullpen in this series?
Is it fair to say nothing?
That is completely fair.
Wow.
No, in all honesty, in all honesty, there's, you know, they haven't, the bullpen hasn't really given anything. You know, you got Chase and Shreve who should do something, but doesn't really seem to be able to put it together. You've got, now one person you do have out there is Ponce de Leon.
Yeah,
starter.
Ponce is an interesting name.
Yeah, he's outstanding, you guys, and that's somebody to watch out for. But then you've got like Mike Myers who could be great, but then he gives up a lot of long balls, so I really don't want to see him in the series at all. You know, you've got maybe you have Brett Cecil, but I don't really want to see him in this series or this season at all. You've got a returning Bud Norris who could be good if he doesn't have this phantom blister. You know, honestly, as much as I was joking, I really would love to not see the bullpen at all, save for, you know, maybe Brevia. Brevia's got a lot of good looks in him. But listen, guys, Mike Matheny and his entourage, they completely destroyed the pitchers in the bullpen. They overused Bowman to the fact that now Bowman, like Jaime Garcia before him, is one solid throw away from watching his arm follow the ball to the plate. These are just guys that are beaten down. And, you know, I just don't want to see the bullpen. I hope he's calling for a Papa John's pizza.
See, Doc, you're talking the bullpen down. Bowman's not even there anymore. I mean, he was DFA'd. That's, you know, Matheny's bullpen use. But Jordan Hicks, when he's on, is really good. Carlos Martinez has kind of taken over that closer role, if I'm not really that mistaken. I still love Dakota Hudson. I think he can come in most spots. Tyson Ross has been pretty good. You know, Giovanni Gallegos has just come up. He was solid in Memphis. So there's some pieces that you can call out there, but I don't think there's enough to rely on for a full series. Is that something you would agree with?
Yes, it is. And actually, I was trying to avoid the really good names so that these guys don't know who's laying out there for them to come and surprise them. I was going with this whole Vietnam approach of, you know, you don't really see us coming. Here's the thing. So yes, those guys are good, but this is also the danger. And I know that you were sort of alluding to this, Trevor, of the Brewers having a bullpen game here at the beginning. Now, listen, we can all be wrong because, you know, the Brewers can have an outstanding bullpen game where they're really only using three or four guys. Then that doesn't really hurt anybody. But if they're having to go and exhaust a lot of people, then they're running them out, and the bullpen need later in the series, it's going to become a bit more of a heightened need. The Cardinals, on the other hand, are actually probably in the same boat, if they were to tote out their greatest today, you know, if you throw Jordan Hicks today, you might be able to throw him tomorrow. But if you throw him today and tomorrow, you don't get him the following day. Or if you pitch him out today, you give him an off day, then he can only come back on, you know, on that last one. So all of these guys that you mentioned, they're two-game guys. So it's going to be the strategy of when you're going to utilize them. And God willing, the starters can go long so that you don't really have to worry about this so much.
And I know you want to go with this whole don't show them what you got approach, but one thing that worries me about this Cardinals bullpen is their lefties. You mentioned how great Brett Cecil is and how much you trust him and how worth the, 5 years, $30 million he is. But outside of that, as far as lefties go, this will probably make the reviewing the Brew Guys laugh. You run out Tyler Webb.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. That guy.
I remember that name.
Was his first pitch was a grand slam or something like that?
Yeah.
So the lefties in the bullpen just aren't there. But you guys will likely see Tyler Webb at some point. It'll make Brewer Nation smile, I'm sure.
I'm sure it'll make Cardinal Nation swear at their TV.
Not necessarily. Tyler Webb has got an incredible usage, and that is to hit the opposing batters. So if Tyler Webb is out there, it could be to be the fall guy for a hit batsman.
So you're bringing him out there to start a brawl?
No, you bring him out there just to hit somebody.
Yeah, I mean, Christian Yelich, he's pretty upset about Michael Feliz hitting him yesterday. And, you know, so doing that again, there's going to be cause for alarm there.
Well, but let's be honest, that's the best use of Tyler Webb.
Well, the best use of Tyler Webb is having him watch the games from the comfort of a couch. I was saying that when he was pitching well in Memphis, and people were saying, well, he's got good numbers. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. Just wait. It's not going to go well, and it hasn't. So that's one interesting thing. So we have just a few minutes left. I think we're about 2 or 3 minutes left in this podcast. So, Dr. Miles, we will start with you. Who is your player to watch for the Cardinals and why?
Look, I think the player to watch is Yadier Molina, both at the plate, both behind the plate. It is going to be Yadier's game to control in terms of how well the Cardinals pitching does. And Yadier, he's the guy that comes through for this team when the team needs him. And this is a series where they absolutely need him. So he's the player to watch for me.
All right. And that same question, except obviously for the Brewers, is going to head over the other way. David, we'll start with you.
Oh, player to watch is always going to be Christian Yelich. I mean, just whenever he's at the plate or just doing anything, it's must-watch TV.
And Matthew, I'm sure you somewhat agree.
Oh, you always have to be watching Christian. I mean, you tune in to watch Christian Yelich. But my key to this series for the Brewers, I'll say Mike Moustakas.
All right. Why is that?
Well, the Brewers lefty third baseman against the Cardinals right-handed pitching. That's the matchup I'm going to be curious to follow.
All right, and I'll throw mine out. I'm going to go with Matt Carpenter because he's got the salsa, and we know how important the salsa has been to the Cardinals this year. And I think that if Matt Carpenter can get hot, stay hot, whatever he needs to do, then he's going to be an annoying bat in the lineup against the Brewers pitching. And I think that's going to be really important for this series. And with that, we are actually just about out of time. That's going to be the end. I want to thank both David and Matthew for coming onto the show. And if you're ever curious about what's going on with the Brewers, please check out Reviewing the Brew. They do some excellent work over there. Not as good as the work we do at Redbird Rants, but it can rival it sometime. And again, thank you to Dr. Miles, and thank you guys for listening. This has been a special edition of the official Redbird Rants podcast.
Yeah, hey Trev, with any luck, you know, we'll get to do this again for the wild card game.
Let's hope so.
That would be great. And
if the
guys,
Rockies
again,
don't take that wild card spot,
yeah, let's hope they don't do that. This would be another.
Now I'm questioning whether we should do that with you or not. So, but all joking aside, you guys, on behalf of all of us at Redbird Rants, we just want to say thanks for joining us. Thanks for being, you know, fellow writers inside of FanSided. And it's just great to have some guys you can pull in and have great conversations with. So really, honestly, thanks for joining us.
This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for having us. You know, we'd love to have you on our podcast, and we'd love to be back. So, yeah, no, we thoroughly enjoyed ourselves, I think.
Yeah, anytime you want, one of us will come on. We'll send people over, so it'll be good. Again, thank you guys so much.
Okay, good. Are we still recording, or are we off the air?
No, no, you're off the air live, but we are still recording, so all of this will go up on the podcast at the end there, but it is not live.
Okay, I just wasn't sure if we had to keep, you know, kissing up to each other like indefinitely. Oh no, I'm so happy to be here. So it was so great. Yes. I mean, just kept going.
You get the end out. Screw you guys. All right, I'm out.
Yeah. All right. All right. We hope that you guys eat some mud tonight.
All right, Trev, we'll see you in the chat room. Doc, it was a pleasure. Take care.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
See you later.
All right. Hey, improve your fantasy football team, too.
Hey, shut up.
All right. Talk to you later.